All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Comics Corner. We got a hell of a roundup because we've got Eerie number 3 and then a massive 6-part Lady Death arc. So we're starting with Eerie, and then we're going to move into Lady Death. But it's just comics tonight. I'll go into VNs and stuff tomorrow. So here we are, new terror tales in the creepy tradition, Eerie, illustrated plunge into monstrous fright. Glad you foul fiendies crept back for another shriek session here at the Moldy Mausoleum. Uncle Creepy's writhing in rage at the reception riot, giving my hysterical collector's edition of Tomb Tomes. There we go. Goddamn. Some of the comments in our new letters page show you why, but for now, steel your nerves for the latest issue of Eerie. Alright, hold up. Let's look at this real quick. Yep, make sure we are recording. We are go. Okay, Soul of Horror, the lighthouse, room with a view, monster work under the sun, another monster gallery, the monument, and full fathom fright. It took me about 45 minutes to read the last one, so I'm expecting the same here. Yeah, we're not going to go through all these. You know, one of those things. Alright, welcome to a wild bit of weird wizardry from my moldy mausoleum of maniacal memories. There we go. You'll be meeting Dr. Clifford Locke, who weaves this piece of witchcraft, a spellbinder that touches on the very soul of horror. Warlock, wizard, devil worshipper, we're putting an end to your unholy witchcraft. Stay back, you puny mortal bumpkins! My work won't be stopped by the likes of you! I do not know the exact details of Simon Hecate's death. He was an evil man, unmourned by the New England villagers of Larchwick. A few whispered facts are certain. The date was August 25th of 1915. The deed was done to the loud screechings of blackbirds. Get him! Kill him! Quickly! There is a local superstition about blackbirds. They lie in wait for the souls of the dying, their screeches and chattering in tune with the last breaths. If they catch the departing soul, their cries shriek throughout the night. If not, listen them, birds have stopped. Just flying away. Simon Hecate's soul is still free. All this I learned later, at the same moment as new resident doctor to the area. Death wasn't on my mind, but life. Lemuel Kemet. That is not a name used. That probably hasn't been used in a long time. Lemuel Catlett was being born. A boy, Mrs. Catlett, big and healthy. Please, Dr. Locke, let me look at him. I placed the baby in her arms and stepped back for the first time. The mother looked into the shiny black eyes and ruddy face of her son. Yeah! The doctor! She's dead! The tragedy sat on me like a rock. My words of comfort to the father came from a choked throat. I've never encountered anything like it. You must take comfort in the boy. He's all right. Doing well. Yes, I still have the boy. In the months that followed, the effect of the tragedy was softened somewhat by the involvement in my work. Although each time I made the rounds of the backwoods community, I'd stop at the Catlett farm. Thought I'd check and see how Lemuel's doing. The boy? Why, he's fine. Growing big, strong, fast. Never seen anything like it. After a year, it became obvious to all Larchwick that Lemuel was not normal. Villagers began steering clear of the Catlett place, and it was said even animals shied and balked when the boy was out. It's fantastic. Most 5-year-olds aren't this developed. And he reads. Anything he can get his hands on, like he was looking for something. Through the years, Lemuel's phenomenal development continued, increasingly grotesque, like something huge stretching a child's form to make it fit, and Lemuel was not the only one changing.
Just as leave, you didn't drop around anymore, Doc. Boy says visitors bother him. I'll call you if I need you. Lord, Catlett was my age when Lem was born, but now... The years also brought changes for me, love and marriage. Though a terrifying event marred my wedding day. Best come quick, Doc. Pa's dying. Keeps asking for you. My God! Guess we're too late. Lem, your father was only 40. But he, this dried up shell. It's like all the life has been drawn out of his body. Listen to those blackbirds. Sounds like they caught a soul for sure. Catlett's farm left Lem with enough to live on. The rural schools could offer him nothing. He was left alone to his and Larchwick's satisfaction. Time passed, then the horrors begin. Good Lord! Yes, yes, I'll be right over. The dogs always loved him. Tonight, when he went to feed them, they went crazy. Tore at him. I had to shoot them. Too late. The image of the savagely torn body hung in my mind on the trip home, until a grotesquely familiar form appeared ahead. Like to be tramping about the woods, isn't it, Lem? I like the woods, Doc. The darkness and wild creatures. Besides, I had business there. The next time, there was no need to call me. Death came screaming right into the center of Larchwick. Ah! Dead, probably from shock as much as the stinging. Never saw nothing like it. Abe kept bees for years. Nobody could handle them like him. Don't like it. First Sam, now Abe. They was both with us that night against Simon and Kate. Lordy, I don't like it. The hint of a pattern made the second death all the more chilling, and while making my rounds, yet another pattern seemed evident. Lem, just like when I was coming home from Sam's. It was a busy time. I had my patience and my wife was now with child, yet somehow I could not put Lemuel's woodland wanderings from my mind. Something drove me to check the area he'd been frequenting. A shack! They'd said Simon Hecate lived somewhere in here. Inside and out, it was a place of rotten decay, foul air, laced with cobwebs. Still, it seemed to me that the shack was being used. The fireplace, those bricks, look loose. Behind the bricks, I found them. Hellish volumes sane men long ago had hoped were destroyed. Incantations, spells, chants, and potions. Dark books for the practice of evil. Those are mine. What right do you have to be here? What right? The pinched adult face of the misshapen child's head was red with anger. The shiny black eyes glared into me. I was gripped by a gnawing fear and fled without saying a word. Stay away from here. This is my place. Best you leave me alone. Again, time numbed me. There were many calls of my wife's condition to be concerned with. Uneventful months passed, and I laughed about my fear. Then, they was working side by side, seemed to go insane, started hacking away at each other. These are the last two. All the men rumored to have killed Simon and Kate are dead. I knew what I must do. It was late, but the moon was high and full. I had no trouble finding my way to the shack. He's in there. Lem? Hold on. Stop! Haven't you done enough, Lem? Lem? No, call me Simon. You? Simon and Kate? Did you think those fools killed me? I have the power to transfer my soul into any fresh-born infant. I have the power to steal life from another body so my own infant shell will grow and mature quickly. And Dr. Locke, I have the power to strike you dead as you stand. Earth, Absalith, Gundar! The hideous little mouth grinned as it spewed forth the deadly spell from the forbidden books. I struck with the only thing at my command. I brought you into this world and... whack! I'll take you out! The thing I grappled with was less than 10 years old, yet had the strength and power of a man more than my equal. Lem needed no spell. He was killing me with his bare hands. No chance unless... Chuck! Ah! Outside, the blackbirds were searching violently. The thing crumbled and decayed with a death stroke, not like something of Lem's age, but as would the ancient Simon Hecate. Behind me, as I staggered from the place of dread, a fire was started. Starting, rather. Man. Pretty crazy. There was no sense of victory or triumph as I ran from the shack. Only horror and revulsion. Above me, I could hear the beating blackbird's wings as they silently flew away. It doesn't matter. There are no newborn children. His soul is doomed. Somehow, I made it back to Larchwick, to my own home. Doc, we've looked all over for you. Your wife, the baby, came prematurely. We had to get Doc Jonas from Green Falls. Half dazed, I was pushed inside, feeling like a man in a dream. I want you to know, Locke, I did everything I could. Things seemed to go well. Then, when it was over, she... But you shouldn't think of that. Try to think about your son. Fine and healthy. I stared at the wrinkled red face before me. Had my wife seen the same horrors in those sparklings? Black eyes as Miss Catlett and Lem's? I couldn't be sure. He looked bright and fine. Yet somewhere I could still hear a voice saying, "Call me Simon." No use kidding around, heh heh. Doc Locke's really got a problem. Hope he can find an answer. Although it might take quite a spell to get to the soul of the matter. To kick off this ghostly gasser from my gory gazette, let me introduce you to Roger Culp, a literary agent who, in his own words, will tell you of the eerie events and horrible happenings taking place in and around the lighthouse. The rockbound coast of Maine is a long way from Manhattan's cocktail parties and literary teas, but when my top writer was late to the publisher with a book for the first time in his career, I decided to make the trip. If only I'd known. Blasted pea soup. Driving's impossible. Maybe I can find the lighthouse on foot. Can't be far. Why Eric Standish would give up a penthouse to write in an abandoned lighthouse was beyond me, although each step I took through that fog and shrouded night brought me closer to an answer. Listen to that surf pound. Eric's place must be nearby. I can... Hello? Who's there? Matthew Fry? Is it you, Matthew Fry? She seemed to wander out of nowhere, untouched and unaffected by the night's chill and the dampness of the enveloping mist. You're not Matthew Fry. No, but I'm looking for someone, too. Eric Standish, supposed to live in the old lighthouse. I can't find it in this fog. Yes, the lighthouse. Come this way. The girl moved with sureness through the layers of fog ahead. The booming sound of the Atlantic breaking on the coastal rocks grew louder and nearer. The ocean's roar became like nearby thunder. Then, without warning, the lantern was gone. Hey, where are you? This way. She was moving this way. Yeah! My hands became claws, scraping and clinging to the wet earth and rocks of the cliff's edge, while my legs thrashed in empty air 100 feet above the pounding surf. Help me, for God's sake, someone help! For eternal moments, I dangled like dead weight, watching in horror as my fingers grew stiff and numb and slowly began to slip. Eric! Thank heaven I heard you shouting. Ground was beneath my feet, and I looked gratefully into a familiar face, a face somehow grown quickly old and tired. I couldn't have lasted another second, but that poor girl, she must have walked right off. Girl? What girl? Tell me. Eric listened with grim resignation as I told him what happened, like a man hearing from his doctor that he has a fatal disease. My family had their roots in this area. All my life I felt someday I had to come here. It's desolate, but colorful. A little research might uncover material for your novel here. Oh, I've done research, Roger. Perhaps too much. That's what led me here. Eric had done the best he could to make his quarters snug and comfortable, but no amount of homey touches could cut the pervading gloom that hung about the old lighthouse. These are my notes, Roger. Things I've discovered since moving here. Things which may fit in with your story. 80 years ago, the schooner Windfall was dashed to pieces on the shoals off this point, treacherous shoals for which the tower's beacon was to give warning. But there was no warning light for the Windfall. The keeper of the lighthouse had fallen asleep in a drunken stupor, unmindful of the storm or his duties. One survivor escaped the holocaust, painfully inched her way up to the darkened tower for help, where inside, roused by the noise of the wreck, the keeper staggered about in blind panic. Confronted by the only witness to his negligence, the Keeper of the Light compounded his deed with an act more horrible for its deliberateness. That lighthouse keeper was my grandfather, Matthew Fry, but tonight, the girl I saw tonight, she was looking for your grandfather? Driving rain began a tattoo on the windows. A storm was moving in from the sea. Eric Standish is a fine name. I've made quite a career writing under it, but you never escape the name you're born with. You see, Roger, I too am Matthew Fry. Clang! That noise! The wind! Even as I said it, I knew the wind hadn't made the noise, just as we both knew while rushing to the stairs what we'd see below. Matthew Fry, is it you, Matthew Fry? I've come for you, Matthew Fry. Oh, God! Was it fear that held me paralyzed in paralyzed horror? Something more! Eric stared transfixed, yet his feet moved, carrying him backwards across the room, out into the wind and rain, onto the old tower's balcony. Now, Matthew Fry! Now! Eric! Yeah! Eric's fearful scream drowned in the raging wind, and the two figures disappeared instantly in the boiling surf below. I almost fell down the spiral stairs of the lighthouse and out into the lashing storm, yet all I could find below were coastal rocks like giant gravestones and the ocean's cold, crashing waves. Numb with exhaustion and cold, I somehow made my way back to the lighthouse. My last memory of that night is clawing open the heavy iron door. The next morning, I was awakened by the screeching of gulls and cries of local fishermen. Lordy, it ain't possible! The sea had disgorged its victims of the night before, and the sight is etched forever in my mind. The horror on Eric's dead face was not of dying, but of the thing that clung to him, the corpse of a once beautiful girl, dead now for 80 years. There's one writer who really got involved in his work. Personally, I think he was all wet, or at least washed up. Now grab a weird wave and see where my terror tide carries you next. This plant actually eats insects and bits of meat. It's a Venus flytrap. Admired by Charles Darwin, famous botanist and explorer. Man, he had a hell of a beard, didn't he? Horrible Herman dares you to look in the box. I don't know. It's Horrible Herman, the hideous, frightening Asiatic insect. Has a fur body, scaly head, red eyes, and twin tendrils. Absolutely kills people who look. You can also make him lift his head and move around. Only 75 cents plus 25 postage and handling. You get a monster foot and a monster fly, 8 inches long, sticks to everything. Cute and horrible, scares everyone. Wow, look what's on the wall. You get a monster hand. Santa never saw claws like these. Oh, I like the monster foot. Put your best foot forward wearing a grotesque monster foot. Then I got Dracula's own rubber bat. If it's true that people fear bats, you'll have the time of your life when they walk in on this one. Human skeleton. Is that what we look like inside? You can't walk around in your bones. Next best thing is this human skeleton. Foot-high model. That's not very big. Giant 10-foot rubber snake. That's what I'm talking about. Wrap yourself in this slithering snake and people will admire your courage. It's a huge 10-foot rubber snake. Damn, blows up with air and curls round and round. Good for fooling people. And even more fun when swimming. As an aid in floating. Okay. Alright. You rabid readers look a little pale after that last pulse pounder. Better rest up. Let Cousin Erie arrange some loathsome lodgings for the night. Right up the dark, creaking stairs, you'll find a room with a view. It was like 101 of the small town hotels Dexter had stayed in. No, not that one. Bad lighting, seedy furnishings, ordinary and dull. I need a room for the night. Sorry, mister, we're full up. Don't give me that. Look at your board. There's one room left. No, we never rent that one. I've been given orders. Look, I'm soaking wet. My car's broken down and I'm dead tired. How about that room? Something strange about it. Folks are never happy staying there. Skip the local color. Just give me the key. Just so you know what you're getting into. What is it? Room 13? Something stupid like that? No, nobody's really ever said. Folks just don't like it, that's all. Well, here you are, room 22. Looks all right, not the Hilton, but at least it's clean. Good night, mister. An air shaft, some view. No wonder no one would stay here. Oh well, just one night. Better get some should-eye. Ah! Who the? Empty. Not a soul anywhere. Hey, don't tell me I'm letting that clerk's old wives' tale get to me. Just nerves. I'm exhausted. Better hit the sack. Yet each time Dexter closed his eyes, he could still see the evil face and chilling stare of the mirror reflection. It looked so real, but there was nothing behind me. Blast it! Can't sleep for thinking about it. Ah, what's the use? I'll take another look. No! Hey, that one on the right, I'm willing to take the chance. Not here! Nothing! Just like before! Not another minute! I'm not staying here! Front desk. Anything wrong, Mr. Dexter? Gotta get a hold of myself. I'll sound like a fool. Clark's crazy hints made my imagination run wild. That's all. Has to be. No, I just wanted to leave a call for me at 8. The night crept on, but no sleep came to Dexter. Only agonizing, tortured thoughts left. Oh, excuse me. I read that wrong. Maybe I should have left. Has to be my imagination. Mind playing tricks. Those things so real. Try to think of something else. What if in there now? Excuse me. What if they're in there now? Watching. Can't be. Silly. Won't. I've got to know. Yeah! No more. I'll put an end to this now. Yeah! Number 22. Empty. Not a sign of him. Must have run off. You think he could at least leave things the way he found them? The clerk gasped in horror. The room he stood in might have been abandoned by Dexter, but the room in the mirror's reflection was fully occupied. Dexter picked a hard way to skip out on the hotel bill, but at least he finally got to sleep permanently. You may have trouble sleeping too when you read my next little scream story. It's mad scientist time, merry maniacs. Let's step back now. Don't trip over the cadavers to one of Europe's dark corners of the last century or so. You're going to be meeting Dr. Von Reich, who's putting together his most ambitious project, which, as you'll see, is not so much a masterwork as a monster work. Finally, it comes to this. So many things I've done for Dr. Von Reich. Now this. From the east, a storm was blowing up. Otto went about his work with reluctant efficiency. The gallows groaned as the mounting autumn wind caused the corpse to swing to and fro. All the trips to the graveyard, ghoulish digging by shuttered lantern. I should have known where it would lead. Thud! In the distance, an owl began hooting at the approaching storm. Muttering sadly to himself, Otto placed the corpse into the cart and threw its hump back into the work before him. Now it's too late. The damage is done. I'm in too deeply not to see things through to the end. The sound of thunder became competition for the creaking of the cart as it bumped over the cobblestones of the sleeping village. It was starting to rain. The doctor has paid me well money to send my brother to the university, and he's a great surgeon. How many times has he promised to rid me of this hump? Drenched with rain, Otto paused, suppressing a shiver as he looked ahead to his destination. Yet what evil it has all led to. Hurry, you fool, we're late. The storm's almost on us. I'm sorry, doctor, my heart's no longer in this work. So, with success almost in sight, you're bothered by conscience? Typical of low mentalities. I never realized where it would lead. Lead? It leads to a claim from the very medical bigwigs who outlawed me into working with dolts like you. Everything's ready. Get that corpse set for surgery. You don't realize the trouble this has caused. The missing bodies put the village in an uproar. Forget the villagers. You've been well paid for your risks. That's enough. You promised more. My hump. The operation. So that's what's upset you? Don't worry. You'll be taken care of. But first things first, we're behind schedule. Von Reich operated the surgical tools with agile frenzy, and soon... There! Now for the transfer. Gently, gently. With unfailing deftness, Von Reich bent over the great hulk of his creation and secured the brain in its new home. Make sure the wiring is back in place, and we're done! Only one more thing to take care of. I promise to fix it so your hump never bothers you again, Otto. Now that the project is almost complete, I intend to keep my word. Come here! Outside, the storm was at its zenith. Thunder pealed louder than ever before, and lightning shot in jagged streaks toward the observatory tower. What are you doing? Why chain me to the wall like this? How can this? Patience, the storm is on us. The vast electrical power of the heavens raced into every apparatus, and the entire laboratory throbbed and glowed. Now, it's working. Now! This is it. It has to be. A success has to be. Dr. Von Reich, are you sure you know what you're doing? Shut up, you idiot! Ah, listen to that great heartbeat. It's alive! It's alive! Now, to loosen the straps. But the brain, that man died on the gallows! Of course, I planned it that way. It has to have a criminal brain. How else would it obey my commands for revenge? Now every fool who ever doubted, whoever gave me trouble, will pay! Starting with you, Otto! Now kill! That hump will never bother you now, Otto! Not when you're dead! Roar! Consider yourself part of the experiment, Otto! His first victim! Tear him limb from limb! Don't hesitate! No, no, what are you doing? Go back! Roar! You never understood, Doctor. This man was hung for grave robbing. The villagers thought he stole the bodies I dug for you. They killed him, an innocent man. Roar! An innocent medical student who was my brother. Yeah! Looks like the doc got a big shock out of his own creation. Probably the news just crushed him. Well, before Otto and his brother lumber out of the observatory, why don't you lumber on to my next fear fable? Now for another nerve number, a startling stunner of a story, guaranteed to help the horror habit. This one will chill the spine, curl the hair, and really get under the skin. No, no, it can't be. No! Yeah! Great! Terrific! Colossal! The scene of the horror... we'll try that one again. The scene of horror ended suddenly in the white brilliance of a motion picture screen. The sound of film clicking on a take-up reel was soon drowned out by enthusiastic murmuring. Eric, you've done it again! These rushes look marvelous, especially your makeup. Fantastic! It should have been me! I've twice the acting experience of Starvo's. The man of a million monsters! How do you do it, Eric? Where do you come up with such great makeup for all your roles? I've been knocked out of the horror business since Starvo's appeared. His makeup gets him all the top roles. Sorry, you lost out on the lead, Leo. At least we managed to get you a supporting role. Supporting role? I'm a star! If only I could learn his secret! Starvo's, you've got to tell me, one professional to another, how do you get those effects? Tell? And have my career nosedive like yours, Ernst? My makeup secrets will remain my own. Pretentious fool. Constantly playing the part, even off-screen. Black cape. Old car. Eric Stavels' makeup secrets obsessed Leo Ernst. He could not get it out of his mind. He had to know. Even lives in this old gothic wreck alone. No family or servants. No lights except in the attic window. He must be there. With strength, agility born out of his obsession, Ernst scaled his way to a view into the lighted window. I was right. He's inside. Creating. Blast him. He's done it again. This is even more terrifying than in this afternoon's rushes. How? He's well set up to experiment. And what's this? He keeps a notebook. It must all be in there. Sketches, formulas, ideas. If I could get my hands on that. With deadly calmness, Ernst made his way to the door of the house and knocked loud and demanding. Really? What's the meaning of all this, Ernst? I don't like my privacy meddled with. Starvo's, please, you've got to talk with me. Please! Even as the gaunt man reluctantly led him inside, Ernst knew exactly what he was going to do. Very well, but make it quick. What I've said about my makeup secrets still goes. Why, my dear Starvos, I wouldn't dream of asking for them. Not when I can take them! The body of the horror star had hardly hit the floor before Ernst had rushed to the attic room and flipped through the notebook. Whack! It's all here! Everything! There'll be some surprises at the studio tomorrow. Shooting time came and went on the set the next morning. The star had made no appearance. Everyone fumed and waited until... Horrible! Last night, Eric Starvos and his whole house went up in flames. Horrible accident! In an industry where time is money, the mourning period for Eric Starvos was short, but concern about doing without his talent was long. We'll have to scrap the whole picture. No one can match his makeup. Don't be so sure about that. Leo, are you nuts? Nobody but Starvos could come up with the kind of stuff he did. He let me in on some of his secrets. You'll see. Sometime later, Leo Ernst reappeared. He had followed Starvos' notebook to the letter. Well, what do you think? Everyone take their places. We've got a movie after all. The day went quickly and easily for Ernst. Starvos' makeup felt comfortable, held up well. Print it! Beautiful! Leo, baby, you'll be a star all over again after this one. Amid voices of congratulations, Leo went to the dressing room, eager to rid himself of the makeup and reappear. to his new admirers as Leo Ernst Star. I did it. Everyone loved my performance thanks to Eric's makeup. Hey, what is this? This stuff isn't coming off. Nothing had any effect. Eric Starvos' creation stayed completely in place. Ernst felt a growing panic. It's got to come off. What's wrong? What's the matter with it? Got to get it off. Rip, tear, anything. Why won't it come off? Nothing happened. Nothing worked. It was driving him crazy. His movements became wild and frenzied. His voice rose to a whining scream, became a sobbing plea. Outside, people began to notice. It won't come off! I can't get it off! Leo, what's happening in there? Leo! Starvos did this. He wanted it to happen. Gotta get it off. Leo, what's going on in here? Oh, Lord, do something. Get a doctor. Get a straitjacket. Anything. Quick. He's gotta get it off. Got to. The two men stared in revulsion at the raw-faced thing before them, its blood-stained hands still pitifully trying to claw at the makeup long since gone. Ripped all the skin from his face. It won't come off. It won't come off. Hmm? Did Starvos' makeup really stay on, or did Leo imagine that it did? Either way, poor Leo certainly lost face on the deal, but let's face it, he had it coming to him. Now see if you can face what's coming next to you. Are you fractured framers still hoping to hang something horrific? Another macabre masterpiece awaits below as you browse through Eerie's Monster Gallery. Number 2, The Vampire. Rising at sundown from its coffin strewn with native soil, the vampire, able to take human bat or mist-like form, goes forth on its ghastly quest for human blood. Those who die from its bite in turn become members of this horrible cult of the undead. Holy objects and garlic grease may be used to ward off vampires, but the most popular method for killing them is a wooden stake driven through their heart. 3 a.m. The relentless ocean surf pounds a tattoo against the cliffs below. As a group of laughing, chattering guests depart happily from the large, ultra-modern structure sprawling atop the rock-faced pinnacles, their high praise and gay comments rippling through the night air, for a party has ended here. But it's really only the beginning of my tale about the macabre masterwork I call the Monument. Fantastic! The house is truly an architectural milestone. Pure genius, Evan Slater is brilliant. Everyone thought his firm was on its way down. Now they'll fight to award him contracts. Oh, Alex Toth again. 1 year earlier, there had been no praise for even Slater Associates. The design firm was in trouble. Junk! The same pap we've been peddling for years. I want imagination and daring. But Evan, our design department's worked for months. This is our best. That's precisely why we're losing business. Our best just isn't good enough anymore. We can't seem to come up with anything new, different. But this plan of yours, Evan, how do you justify wasting our dwindling capital by building a private home for you? Can't you get it through your heads? It'll be a showplace. Ours, the firm's exhibiting our design talent. A hunk of architecture so great that our firm's reputation will be remade by it. So keep looking for the new, the bold, daring, brilliant, and don't settle for less than that, because I won't. Bam! There was no easy solution. Slater kept on with his own desperate search, anywhere and everywhere. What's this? Who do these belong to? Roger's been cleaning out the old plan files and storage bins, Evan. Some of that stuff's been around for 15, 20 years. Unbelievable! Exactly the treatment, the flair I want! Charles Langton Colt, I remember now, many years ago, an old codger with far-out ideas, and nobody would use him. Wherever he was, the old man had to be found, had to be alive. Charles Langton Colt, you're going to design my dream house, and I won't take no for an answer. No, Mr. Slater. Listen to me, Colt. You're dying away in this flea-bag hotel room, wasting your talent on balsa wood models that no one will ever see. How can you? I vowed a long time ago to work only for myself. No one else appreciates my work. Slater's mind worked quickly. He had to have Colt's work. Then let it be yours. My firm will put up the money. Build it just the way you want, to suit your needs. A monument to your genius. Monument? Sure, it'll become an architectural shrine. The home of Charles Langton Colt. I'm old, Slater. my health failing rapidly. But since this lends itself to a project I've long had in mind, I'll do it. So it began. A dying old man racing against death to complete his lifelong dream. It's going to be tough building, but it's a honey of a spot. I've planned for everything. The house will be, total. Fulfill every need. Slater pushed, pushed as he never pushed before, to wind up this exciting project. Have you seen everything the plans call for? I've been in construction for 30 years, but I've never... Just do it. Don't question genius. The house took form and was nearing its completion. All of Colt's requirements were being met. It's going perfectly. The construction crew doesn't really need me underfoot anymore. Shouldn't you be kicking off our publicity and promotion about now? There's still a few points I want to take up with you before I get to that. Oh yes, the master bedroom. I've always loved the sea, fitting that my place of rest will be here, overlooking its majesties. Now, what is it you wish to take up with me, as you put it? Just this! Yeah! The tragic accident was not given widespread publicity. Promotion was quite voluminous. However, on Ethan Slater and his new dream house, by the time of his housewarming gala, no one could even remember in passing the name of Charles Langton Colt. Every notable... Hold on, we'll... I think we're going to go here. Fantastic work, this! Marvelous! I've never seen anything as daring! Every notable in the world of architecture is here tonight. After tonight, there's only one notable in the design world. Evan Slater. The gala ended almost too soon for one very elated Mr. Slater. What a brawl! The firm will be swamped with commissions from now on. They love the house! And why not? Colt thought of everything. Automatic lights, doors, climate controls, the house of the future. Bedroom doors hissed shut behind him with a click. Soundproof bedroom. Ocean view. Charles Langton Colt didn't admit a thing. Great night. I've earned a long rest. Slater's head had barely touched the pillow when a whir of solenoid-activated controls was heard and... What? Snap! Clicks. Charles Langton Clout speaking. This is a recording. Wall panels open behind Slater. Odd, almost sinister machinery now set into motion was revealed. Help! Somebody get me loose! It is programmed for non-stop replaying until I am found and this recorder is shut off. From each side of the bed, two mechanical arms came into view, moving up and then towards Slater's captive form. The completion of this house marks the culmination of all my dreams. I have no desire to outlive it, and thus... Ye gods, Colt building his own embalming machine! Just inside each elbow, Slater felt the sudden, sharp probe of needles. The Charles Langton Colt House stands as a monument to my creative talents. I can think of no more fitting structure to house my remains and serve as my tomb! Ah, no! No! Evan Slater fell back, helplessly, as his life's blood drained slowly from his body. The room spun wildly about him as his fast-diminishing consciousness absorbed Colt's last words. Clicks, my tomb! Clicks, my tomb! Clicks, my tomb! Clicks, my tomb! Shpum, shpum, shpum! Building Colt's house was a big drain on Evan Slater, to be sure. But he's got an endless supply of time to rest up. Now, if you're too shook up to rest, take a look at the next little chiller I've constructed for you. Prologue. The two doctors stared calmly as the patient raved and struggled under the grip of his guard. They were used to shouting and screaming, crying and laughing. It was to be expected. It was that kind of place. It was an insane asylum. No water! Keep it away from me, I've warned you! Why don't you listen? Crash! I'm not insane! It's all true! Why don't you listen before it's too late? He hasn't responded to any kind of treatment. Completely hostile and aggressive. There's only one thing left to try. Don't do this. It's the old man's fault. He got my brother and me into it. He did it. The old man. Now that our pulsating prologue is over, let's find out what the shouting is all about. Bert Kane is going to tell you of the horrific happenings on the ocean floor that drove him into the booby hatch and left him with a bad case of full fathom fright. Sam and I should have never let the old man charter our boat or our services. We could have gone on being beach bums, scraping out a living, but we didn't. We were too eager and greedy. The old man wasn't nuts. It's down here just like he said. It's down there, and the chest is inside. It'll take Sam and me both to get it out. Chest gives off a funny glow, lights up the inner hull of the wreck. Kind of spooky. Him and that book, that blasted old book with its hand-scrawled pages, ancient and evil. Just as the book said, you must bring it up immediately. Must be something pretty valuable in that chest. Maybe treasure, huh? Valuable? Beyond your wildest dreams. Don't try to open it down there. Just bring it up to me. I've waited years for this. It's going to be mine, to do with as I want. Mine, after centuries below. Ka-chung! Guess that treasure won't be his after all. Man, see how they're just killing everybody? Just... Hey, now we can get a look at the book. See how he knew about all this. With that treasure chest waiting below? Come on. If only I'd looked at the book then, instead of afterwards, when it was too late. All we could think of was gold and jewels waiting for us in the rotting hull of that ship, waiting in that strange, glowing chest. Sam was more anxious than I was. When he saw the light coming from within the hull, he pushed on ahead. He couldn't wait before I could catch up. Sam was prying at the lid to the chest. Poor Sam, he never got to see the book. Never got to know about the ship and its original passengers. A weird cult driven out of England. Driven out for worshipping demons. The old man had known. Found the book and believed. Wanted to rekindle the cult's power. To bring back what had been shut in the chest for the centuries since the ship was sunk. Deep underwater, they call it the Silent World. But when Sam opened the chest, I heard a sound. A loud, horrible sound. The thing tore into Sam and came rushing towards me. Somehow my petrified fingers found the trigger to my spear gun. Thung! The water boiled with the creature's thrashings as the spear went home, then turned into an inky black cloud, and out of it swirled what was left of my brother. Somehow I made it to our boat, but as I pulled Sam aboard, Sam, what the... I clutched onto Sam and shot for the surface, never once looking back to the depths below where I knew that centuries-old horror was still loose and rampant. Oh my God! Like a werewolf or vampire, the bite of the demon had been infectious, transforming Sam. But being a creature of the deep, one other element was necessary for the change. Water! Thud! Could I become one too? The thing that had once been my brother was dragging me near the side of the boat towards the water when my hand grasped cold steel. Arrgh! It was my last desperate chance. I jerked the spear from the old man's body and plunged it into the creature. Splash! Wounded and bleeding, I grasped the old man's book, that volume of the cult handed down for generations, looking for answers, answers I now know all too well. I was still reading the book when that awesome thing from below struck with full fury. Smash! Epilogue. The patient's screaming still echoed in the corridors as the doctors chatted in their office. Coast Guard found him atop a large piece of wreckage. Remarkably enough, he'd managed to stay dry. But not this book. Most of the ink's been washed away. The book was harmless. Guilt over killing the old man made Bert's mind create the demon. Drove him to kill Sam. It happened in the water, hence his neurotic fear water will transform him. It's classic. I know, yet I worry about shock therapy. No need to. It's just a standard treatment. That's why I'm uneasy. The treatment includes electrotherapy plus... Yeah! Babas in hot and cold water! Oops! Looks like the docs prescribed the wrong treatment. And they think their patients are nuts. Once Bert joins them, they'll probably see their mistake. Meantime, there's oceans of terror bubbling up in my next issue. This plant actually eats insects. Who else wants a live monkey? You can be the happiest boy on your block with your own live baby squirrel monkey. Have loads of fun and enjoyment. Train your monkey to do tricks. Come to you for food, petting, and playing. These delightful monkeys grow to almost 12 inches and are golden in color, slender, short-haired. Each monkey has a heart-shaped face, appealing eyes, and grows a tail almost 14 inches long. No problem caring or feeding your monkey. It eats lettuce, carrots, fruits, almost anything you eat. Affectionate and lovable. Almost a member of the family soon after you get your pet. Dress it in cute costumes and put on shows. You and your monkey can be real pals. Live delivery guaranteed. Send $19.95 in check or money order. Pay delivery man. Small express charges for safe delivery to you. Wow. I want a live monkey. That's what I want. You get a free cage, a leash, and a collar with your monkey. Man. Yep, that's all I need is a monkey to just kind of swing around, you know. Hey, get off that light! Whoops. Kind of zoomed in a little bit. Wasn't trying to do that. How do I zoom out of this thing? I'll bet. Ah. Mysterious silent dog whistle. World's most amazing hidden radio hides in the palm of your hand. There's Yuri number 4 coming up. All right, guys. So that's the Grim Lord. And I am out with this episode of Eerie Comics. And we'll be back with some more. See you next time.